When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Although things are going to change next year, we're going to move across the street. There are a few things with the New York Yankees that never change. That's pride, it's tradition, and most of all, we have the greatest fans in the world.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Okay.
Inside the 1 o'clock hour on The Fan in New York, KM to 2 a.m. So, honestly, I probably have 50 minutes left, and with breaks, I'll probably have like 30 minutes. So, 877-337-6666. I'm going to get right to it. We're talking about the Yankees, duh. Let's go back to Morris in Brooklyn and see if Morris is ready. What's up?
Thank you for taking my call. I'm sorry what happened earlier.
Yeah, you're good. It's late. You might have fell asleep. You might have had something to do. It's all good.
You never know.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of yours. I've actually started following the Yankees 2 years ago. And ever since then, I needed to keep up. So I tuned into radio and like to listen to you a lot. So this is my first call of the season. And my perspective is that I think that it's way too early to say that the Yankees are going to go too far. I'm not impressed with them sweeping the Astros because if they didn't do it in October, then they've done this many times before. They beat the Astros in the regular season. And also, the reason why I'm not impressed with Juan Soto either, because it doesn't mean just because they get another player like that he could change the whole team.
Morris, you said you started watching the team 2 years ago, so your first season watching the New York Yankees was 2022?
Correct.
Okay. So the 2022 Yankees, which featured Josh Donaldson and guys like Aaron Hicks, Joey Gallo, those guys are long gone. I understand you being cautious and tapering your expectations and even not being impressed. But what I'll say is this is a different club. This is a different group of guys. There are different players in those uniforms. And the fact that they came out and did what they did to open the season, this game today, the teams that you watched the last 2 years, they lose this game in extras today. With Manfred's man on second that got created in the 2020 season, like the past 3 years of Yankees teams lose that game on the road to a team like the Diamondbacks, they fold. And then the way that they won those games coming back against the Astros on the road, like you are looking at a change. You are looking at a difference in that clubhouse, energy, vibe. These guys are flexing their watches. Marcus Stroman is wearing a vintage 2004 opening day t-shirt in the dugout over his hoodie. Verdugo, they're telling Verdugo, hey, you're too icy. You got too many chains. Now everybody's a dog now. Like, this is different, bro. And if you started following me and listening to me as your way to connect and keep up with the Yankees, I'm telling you, I go to the stadium, I watch this team, this energy is different, this vibe is different. They have something different about them where you don't need to be impressed, but you should be locked in and you should be pleased at what you're seeing early on.
No, I'm definitely happy about following the Yankees this year, but I think that 2022, they had a very good start, and they were comparing them to the 1998 Yankees.
Now, something I said yesterday, I'm like, hey, I throw some caution out there, because they're like, this is the first time the Yankees have started 5-0 since 1990. Please, let's not do that, because the same way I say this team is different, those teams in the 90s and even the teams in the 70s, like, Derek Jeter's not on this team. Mariano Rivera's not on this team. You know what I'm saying? Gator's not pitching for these guys. Mickey Rivers isn't leading off. Like, this is not them. They are writing their own story, and they have the pen right now. And so far, they seem motivated. They seem like they have a chip on their shoulder. They seem like they're tired of being talked about as bums, a 500 ball club, having other teams walk all over them. They are refusing to lose, and the fan base is supporting them in droves. The fan base is going out to Texas and Arizona to take over ballparks. When the world sees what the Bronx looks like Friday, I can't wait. I'll be there. I'll be in there.
Well,
Oh yeah. And what do you say about the Mets? They're having a terrible start. I mean, with all respect,
the same way you don't want to get ahead of yourself with the Yankees, the Mets fans shouldn't get ahead of themselves. But it's hard. They don't have our pedigree. They don't have our history. They don't have our caliber of players on their roster. So it's an early sample size. It's too small of a sample size to judge on either side. But like what Yankee fans are judging is the difference from the last couple years. Mets fans are looking at this team, and I don't know how many times just this week I've heard that Braves series from 2022 referenced. And I'm like, we can't keep going back to that Braves series. The three starting pitchers that pitched in that Braves series, Scherzer, Bassett, DeGrom, they're not here anymore, right? Like that, I guess that was the breaking point, right? Because they got punked and they gave it up and they haven't been right ever since. Nah, it's too early to tell. And what I'll say is similar to you talking about, oh, they didn't do it in October. We don't know if both of these teams are making it to October. It seems like the Yankees have enough talent. And when you look across the American League, there's only like a couple teams that, you know, early on you're even expecting to contend and compete with them. With the Mets, we do not know what's going to happen. It just seems like right now they don't have enough hitters. You don't feel confident in their rotation. And their manager is a rookie manager. So it's tough, man. But we take this day by day, series by series, week by week. So far, 1 week down, two series in, a handful of games, a week full of games. The Yankees look good. The Mets don't look so good. And you know, not for nothing, like that's how it's been more years than not.
And but getting back to the Yankees, I'm really not convinced after seven games that you could think that the Yankees are going to forever get to the World Series.
No, I haven't said that. I know how hard it is to win the World Series. I know that they haven't won the World Series since I was in college, getting hammered drunk every night, like skipping class, buying kegs for the football house. Like that's how far ago it was since they won the World Series. Like I didn't even have a driver's license back then. Like I just was like a different human being. I didn't care about anything back then. Like the 15 years in between I just referenced, they are approaching their longest streak in their history, 18 years. Like, trust me, I know how hard it is to get to the World Series. I have suffered these defeats. I have been in Yankee Stadium. I was there for the 2015 wild card game, throwing Colby Rasmus home run back. I was there in 2017. I was there in 2019. I was there in 2022. I didn't even mention some of the other years in between. I just mentioned the years that the Astros knocked us off. That's why I'm also saying, though, to go into Houston and send that message to the team that has been to seven consecutive ALCSs, it's a great start. They have a lot more to do.
What makes you think that they're gonna beat Houston in the playoffs?
What makes you think Houston's gonna be there? Why has it got to be Houston? Maybe it's the Mariners.
Which other team is going to be?
Maybe it's the Twins.
Mariners are not nearly as good as the Houston.
You don't know that though, right? You just said it's too early to tell, Morris. You just said that.
Look at their lineup. Look at up and down their lineup. Every hitter Houston? Has hit multiple digits home runs.
Houston?
Yeah.
If Houston is there, I would love to dance with them, because if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. And they have done it every year. I would love to get that monkey off of our backs. I know you're new. I know you've only been watching the Yankees for 2 years. But, like, the Yankees have a history of excellence, tradition of winning and all of that, and they got to get back to it. Thanks for the call, Morris. 877-337-6666. I'm no fool. They're not giving out rings at winter meetings. They're not giving out rings in spring training. And they damn sure didn't give the Yankees a ring for going 6-1 this first week of the season. But it's a hell of a start for a team that went 82-80 last year. How many times did you hear me say, I can't wait till opening day? Because even if we went 0-1, I'd rather be 0-1 than 82-80. Milton's out in Brooklyn where Morris is, but probably a different side. The Cowbell Man on the Fan in New York.
For the love of God, Morris, go root for the Astros and don't call the radio no more. You sound like the most pathetic fool.
He's new.
I don't care what he is. What the hell was that?
Yeah, he's just confused, man.
Did he say the words, I'm not impressed with Juan Soto? Like, what did he want him to do?
I tried to delicately have that. But he's just new, man. He hasn't seen.
Oh, my
God. He hasn't seen enough. He's not impressed.
Listen, I just want to get a few things out, and I got to ask you a question. I want to afterwards, but first of all, just to put it out there and let everybody know, Jets and Yankees, both fan bases are not mentally crazy. If you think most Jet fans think that they're just going to win a Super Bowl because they made all these moves and because the Bills lost a wide receiver, you're out of your mind. We haven't made the playoffs in like 13, 14 years. We're just happy that they're finally building up something that's going to give us a chance to win. We're not dumb. We know the Bills are great. We know the Dolphins are good. We know it's going to be tough to make the playoffs. But with the additions they made and with the quarterback probably playing, we are looking forward to just making the playoffs. Nobody is talking Super Bowl. We're not dumb. And as for the Yankee fans, that people, every time we celebrate one or two wins, you got a guy like who's a supposed two-year Yankee fan. What makes you think they're going to go to the World Series was his question. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that finally our GM woke up and smelt the coffee and got left-handed batters.
Yeah.
Got dogs, got players that have fun playing baseball like right. It's Little League. Got players that are out there that like to show their emotions while they're playing. It's not corporate city. We're not, you know, all shaven and running around the bases quietly, going into the dugout. You know, we're not always hurt. Hopefully the rest
they're
of the season.
They're iced out. They're tatted up. They're having a good time. They're all fighting.
It's all about the perception. It's all about the quality of baseball we're watching. It's looking forward to games. It's John Sterling and Susan not taking any days off because they're excited.
Yeah.
You could hear it in Sterling's voice. That first, he thought it was 1998 again.
Oh, he's back. He's back.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's all those little things, man. It's the fact that we're looking forward to the Bodega opening day.
Yes, sir.
And how that crowd, you know, when Soto and Judge go back-to-back for the first time, how about them apples when that happens? How about the roof coming off on that? It's the fun. It's the looking forward to it. It's not a cocky, stupid Yankee fan that's calling the radio saying, we're going to win the World Series because we're 6-1. No, we're not. Right now, we need a closer. We need to make a trade for a pitcher at the deadline. We got to pray to God that Cole comes back.
Yep.
Stanton is probably going to get hurt. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a struggle with Baltimore.
It's a long road. It's
exactly.
A long road.
I mean, God forbid if you celebrate a 6-1 start. You know, the Mets fans could call and cry about their team. That's all okay. And they should. And, you know, you're never as good as you look, and you're never as bad as you look, Mets fans. And I still think the Mets are going to have a decent season. They just need to trade one of their big-name players and shake it up. They need a shake-up. They need to trade the polo bear. They need to trade
yeah, this core.
Bring in some new players. Yeah, just change
this core may be
bit,
cooked.
And I think they'll be fine. But listen, I'm just excited that we have left-handed batters. That's all I wanted to
yeah,
see.
A balanced lineup and good ones.
A balanced lineup. That's it. I mean, how hard is that?
And it's not just Judge. It isn't Judge or nothing. It isn't, like I said last year, without Aaron Judge, the Yankees look like an NFL team missing their starting quarterback. There's a parallel
exactly.
Between the Jets and the Yankees.
Every night, this is going to be one of those years where you're going to have different heroes every night. It's going to be fun. It's just a buzz.
Right.
It's
you're not impressed different. With Anthony Volpe?
I mean, come on. I'm not impressed by Soto. How do you say that?
Yeah, no, because you're uninformed. And, like, he qualified himself by saying,
what does
I just
matter?
Started
what
watching
Soto
2 years. His first
yeah,
Yankee season.
Matter?
And he says he's a fan of mine, and I hope he's listening, and he's following me online and all that. I'm not talking down on you, bro. But I'm saying, like, I started watching the Yankees in 1996.
Keith,
so I am impressed with the start. This is one of the better starts coming off of an 82-80 season, which was the worst season of my entire life.
Keith, let's say he never watched a Yankee game or he's never watched Soto play. He didn't see him with 19 years old winning the World Series.
Many Yankee fans are unfamiliar with one Juan Soto. I'm not. I'm on Twitter in spring training saying it's Juan Soto, bro. What did you think? What did you expect? What do you like? Why do you think that they're calling this guy the generational Juan Soto and talking about
man.
The money he's going to get? He's different.
And you think he's going to go to you have Sal saying he's going to the Mets? Like, come on, stop
yeah, but
that
guy, you know, you got to say
come
that,
on,
and guys got to say anything.
Like, come on, man.
Yeah, listen, it's unrealistic to me.
Let me ask you a question before I go, and I know this is going to be over the top, and you're going to say no, but I just got to give this analogy to you. So, real quick, so the Cleveland Browns lost their football team, and they went to Baltimore. And they became the Ravens, correct? And I think the Indianapolis Colts.
The Baltimore
left,
Colts.
Became...
Yeah, it was the Baltimore Colts.
So what are the percentage of those fans became fans of the team still when they went to a different city? Like, do you think Cleveland Brown fans became Baltimore Raven fans? Like some of them? Or do you think they didn't?
No, it's hard. It's hard to get fan bases to travel, even as the St. Louis Rams lose
exactly.
their fans. It's just like they're not there. They like
so. Don't you think? Don't you think when a team leaves, you are open to changing teams as a fan because they
of
left.
Of course.
Okay, Keith. Well, here it is. Your New Jersey Nets left you.
No,
Come to the Knicks.
I abandoned them.
You, Keith.
Milton, I abandoned them for a year. I had a hard boycott. My wife bought me tickets to it was Nets Bulls. It was April 26th playoffs in 2013. And she's like, my wife's smart. She got me back into the Nets, and I realized from going to Continental Airlines Arena to Barclays Center, I'm like, this is better over here. They're going to attract better players over here. I didn't know that they were still going to be the miserable Brooklyn Nets and have different iterations of just doom and despair and disgusting basketball and stupid mistakes.
Keith, you got a chance. Such a fresh start. You got your son. The New Jersey Nets left you already. They already abandoned you as a fan. Now you and your son, new Knicks fans, you come and join us because what else is there to root for? Your Nets already left you. They're going to suck forever. You might as well just raise your son with you as Knicks fans and just start from scratch.
So anyway, Jackson is a Yankees fan, and that's the only thing I'm putting on him. If he wants to be Knicks fan, I'm not going to stop him. And I know there's Nets fans that are probably like, oh, my God, I can't believe you said – hey, I'm not putting that evil on him, Ricky Bobby.
Being
a Nets fan, it's good for 2-3 years, then it absolutely sucks.
Don't do that, but I'll see you on Friday, brother. Hopefully
I'll
get
be out there
you know
like
I mean.
By 10 a.m., 11 a.m. at the latest. Nah, I'm going to be out there like 9, 10 a.m. And you know where to find me. I know where to find you. We'll get it in. This is our time, man. Don't let anybody tell you they're not impressed. Don't let anybody tell you, what makes you think they're winning a World Series? We don't think anything. We never left. When the Yankees had a 15-year drought, we're still in the bleachers in 203 watching every single game. We've watched
We're a fan of the team, man. When you're a fan of the team, you know, you go through the up and downs. And
every
you
game.
You try to keep it level-headed. You try to keep it realistic. There are fans who are, like, way over the top. We're going to win the World Series every year. And there's fans who are always super negative, like, all the time. Like, no matter what they do,
they have an identity, Milton. They didn't have an identity the last couple years. It was judge or nothing. I'll see you Friday.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, I mean, and back to the call from Morris. And Morris, I hope you hear all this and you hear, like, Milton is the cowbell man. So as I talk about, you know, being a kid in 96, starting to play Little League Baseball, I didn't know anything about baseball, but I started to be a Yankee fan. The first real season that I remember is 98, lucky me. And then in the 2000s a little bit, I definitely fell off as I got older, and I also started playing sports myself. Football, basketball, baseball, it's hard to be as much of a fan when you're playing sports and at practice and traveling and going to things. And we also didn't have cell phones. I didn't get a cell phone until I was 13, 14. So we couldn't just look at the at-bat app. I had to check the newspaper. I had to go on blogs and .com and, you know, watch SportsCenter and Yes Network. Yes Network's only been around 22 years. But what I'll tell you, Morris, is if you're a Yankee fan and you're calling yourself a Yankee fan, do not step into other circles and tell other Yankee fans that you're not impressed with this. As I look at a whole section, whole 3-4 sections in Arizona that are covered in Yankee fans. The Arizona Diamondbacks represented the National League in the World Series, revitalized their fan base. And the New York Yankee fans are able to go into their ballpark and take it over. There are a ton of Yankee fans. We will disagree on everything. But one thing that I feel like Yankee fans have to agree on is this is a hell of a start. And if you're not impressed, I don't know what you're looking at. I don't know what you're watching. I literally don't know what. Maybe you don't know how to watch baseball. I am having a blast watching these games. They're fun. Not impressed. Well, who are you comparing to? Because if you just started watching the Yankees, you missed the core four. You missed the dynasty. You even missed the baby bombers. Right? Like, if you're comparing this team to the 2022 Yankees, which he also said, like, oh, yeah, they started off hot too. Yeah, but that was different. I think we all knew that was fool's gold. We knew that the other shoe was going to drop. We knew at some point, hey, hold on now. And it did. But this team has parts of that team And they filled some of the holes that that team did not have. Like, they filled some of those spots. Like that team legit had Aaron Hicks playing a lot. Joey Gallo. Josh Donaldson. That team had IKF as shortstop. Like, not too long ago, the Yankees opened up the season with Jay Bruce at first base. You know, so as Yankee fans hear my voice, I understand we're spoiled, and I understand a lot of us get ahead of ourselves, but I think the real Yankee fans that watch all of these games, that go to these games, some of you realer than me, as far as knowing the ins and outs of every transaction with this team, you are impressed with this start, because the teams the last few years would have lost those games in Houston. The teams the last few years don't win this game in extra innings. Just last year, they don't win that. They don't fight. They don't hit home runs in extras. They don't take advantage. They lay down. The way that these guys just engage with each other, how they celebrate each other, is different. The way that these guys are, now they're dogs. Now they're doing the honking with their hands. I don't even know what the hell that was. Like, they have mojo. They have a way about them. And that's how it starts. Every great Yankee team has something. And I know we've been trying to go back in time to the thumbs down. Sean Kelly with the horse head. AJ Burnett and Swisher with the cream pies. These guys have something. They're dogs. They're tatted up. They're icy. They're wearing chains. They're flexing their watches. And they're coming back to New York to rock that stadium. And if you're there, you should be impressed with their start. Because honestly, I think I even said this on The Fan. I said I'd be happy with 3 or 4 wins. I didn't expect them to take both series. Like, I did not expect them to go into Houston and sweep. I'm a gambling man. I wouldn't have put a $1 FanDuel bet on it. Without Gerrit Cole, with a banged up Judge, with DJ down, you got to be impressed. I'm sorry for the little rant, but like, I just got to bring some of y'all in. Like, you got to know what you're watching. And I understand if you just started watching this program, but some of us have been watching this program for decades. Some people listening to me have been watching the Yankees longer than I've been alive. And they're impressed with this start because they're watching baseball. Whether it was the Yankees, whether it was the damn Montreal Expos playing like this, it's been impressive. Let's go to my guy Mo, one of the Bleacher Creatures on The Fan. Bleacher Creatures on both sides of the phone before we go to break, Mo.
I can listen to you and Milton, you know, just talking baseball all day.
You're about to hear us in the bleachers all season having these same type of chats. And hopefully we're winning games. And we're high fiving, and you know how it goes.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever Morris is drinking, I want to drink that when I'm stressed at work, because that's one calm, cool character. If you ain't impressed,
just new around here. You know, when you're new, you're naive, you're green, you don't understand what you're watching. He said he's been watching the Yankees for 2 years. This is his third season. He said he's following me. Well, hey. Follow what I just put down. I hope you're picking up what I just put down on The Fan.
Well, you know, building a little bit on what Milton was saying, you know, we finally got lineup balance. I remember looking at the last game, and in one of the games in Arizona, and they went right left all the way down to 8, and then Cabrera was switch hitting. But I wanted to point out something that I've always thought. Boone has done an absolutely wonderful job this year. And I think that he's kind of gotten away from listening to what the front office tells him. I always thought he was a better manager than people gave him credit for. But I remember him coming out after the first day with Cabrera, first two games with Cabrera being red hot. And he said, oh, the plan is to play Birdie game 3. And he went with Cabrera and he turned around and said, you know, I can't take him out of the lineup. He's too hot.
Yep.
And then seeing that.
Smart move.
And also seeing how he's managing with what he's seeing. I mean, analytics are great.
Yeah. Victor Gonzalez. Numbers,
you know that?
I know they lost a game, but it was like, hey, Victor Gonzalez, you got another inning in you? Yeah. And I was like, I was on Twitter. I was like, oh my God, did you guys see Boone managing? You guys say that he never makes decisions like that. Everything's scripted. He's just a data applicator and everything is done for him. Like, no. All right, I'll say this to you, Mo. If it was your last year of your contract, if you knew your job was on the line, Wouldn't you fight to make the decisions to save your job, to save your career, to potentially save the only opportunity you get to manage, which I don't think is true, but it'll be your only opportunity to manage the New York Yankees. He never managed anywhere else. He's also, what, 8 years in, 7 years in, 8 years in? I don't know exactly what it is. But at this point, he's got a lot of experience. I was talking about Carlos Mendoza, who was sitting in the dugout with Boone as a bench coach. This is his first year on the job. He didn't know how to handle that situation with Rhys Hoskins. Boone knows how to handle players. He knows how to handle Carlos Rodon. He knows how to handle an Alex Verdugo. He knows how to handle a Juan Soto. He's been doing this for a long time, and he's not going to just let things happen or let things be done for him. He is making decisions that he's willing to die on because his livelihood is on the line.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, when was the last time he would take out Holmes in the seventh game of the season in the middle of an inning? And then he even said it. There was an article in The Athletic where an interview, and he said even if, I forget the batter, that came up before the pitcher in today's game, he was like, I was going to walk him even if the bases were loaded. I mean, this is not what you're normally seeing. Analytics feeds you information, but in the end, you got to manage what you see. And I got to be honest, I'm very impressed with what he's done so far. And, you know, I'm very impressed with this lineup.
He's the right manager for this team. These guys respect him. These guys love him. The captain of the team loves him. I even got upset today when Rodon had a little bit of a, like, mouth open, like, really? Like, Rodon, hand the ball and get out of the way. Hand the ball to Boone and go. These guys have a plan. They know you better than you know yourself. You lost the strike zone. Enough. It's the second outing. We're trying to win the series and have a happy flight. And that's exactly what they did. Mo, I'll see you in the bleachers soon, bro. 877-337-6666. Big Mac is in here warming up. He's in the bullpen ready to come out. He's following up in about 25 minutes. I got to take a break. Keep McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
When this happened, you talk about it on the Fan.
Full windup by Simmons. And a swing on him high in the air. Deep to center field. Way back. It may go. Gone. A grand slam. A grand slam. Mike Piazza.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Ever since I left the city, you and me, we just don't get along. You made me feel like I did you wrong. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be at that Drake concert tomorrow in Newark at the Pru, at the Rock. Shout out to the Devils. Like, I don't know what I did. I think it's just I came through the Fan repping Jersey. I came through the Fan in New York repping the Garden State. And the Devils showed me big love as soon as they got wind of me. And the Devils are like, hey, man, you know, I'm a hip-hop head. Of course I want to see Drake and Wayne. I think a couple months ago we were talking about the GOAT conversation with Mahomes and Brady. And, of course, that bleeds into LeBron and Jordan. And a caller called up and said, Keith, who's your GOAT rappers? Who's your favorite rappers of all time? And I was like, Jay-Z? But really, Wayne. Really, Lil Wayne. Young Weezy. Tune. So, yeah, I'll be at that concert Friday if you're out there in Newark. I mean, I think I originally was on the Fan talking about doing the trip from Yankee Stadium to UBS because if you remember correctly, it was originally supposed to be two shows only in Long Island at UBS on the 4th and the 5th for Drake and J. Cole. And then I think Drake's camp got wind of New Yorkers and New Jersey people as well being like, nah, we're not going all the way out to Long Island. Like, we're not driving all the way out to UBS. That's too far. So Drake switched it up where he already did his two shows at UBS, and then he announced two more shows in Newark at Prudential Center. I live 20 minutes away from there. Like, I'm telling you, bro, if you follow me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, I am about to put together a three-day movie starting today. Starting today. T-Mobile store in Times Square with Cecil Fielder and Paul O'Neill. Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up. Then I'm going to come here and rock a five-hour KM to AM. and then I'm going to go home and try to sleep, but that's not going to really happen. And as soon as my son gets up with, I'm going to give him his bottle, change his diaper, and then I'm ask my wife if we're good. I'm going to drive right to the stadium. Happy New Year. It's going to be like 9 a.m., 10 a.m. I will be in Yankee Land, and it's on. The gates open at 11, ceremony at 12:30, Yankee Stadium. And then I'm going to slip out of there, zoom, zoom, go home, change, slide to Newark, hit Prudential Center. For Drake and Lil Wayne, it was all a blur tour. Then after that's done, go home, sleep. Probably have to go to the grocery store, ShopRite, Target, BJ's, whatever it is. You know, dad duty, being a good husband. And then I'm back on the Fan Saturday at 3 p.m. And then that show will take us right into Yankees baseball. And whenever it's over, I think it's over like 6:25, 6:50, whatever. I'm going to miss some of the game, whatever. I'm going to go right up to the stadium again. I don't care how cold it is. We're going to rock a Saturday night game 2 in the Boogie Down. I'll see you then. My guy Paul out in Memphis, Tennessee, back on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith.
Whole lot of dogs, the Boogie Down dogs. Here they come. Beware of dog.
My goodness. Yeah, but I tell you what, the dogs are actually our bullpen with Ian Hamilton leading this woof woof woof. My goodness, it's the attitude.
Yes,
it's not so much just you know what they're doing and how they're doing it, but it's the attitude and how they're coming across with this. I'm just blown away with these first seven games.
It's fun to watch the whole game, right? It's fun to feel like you're in every game, right? It's fun to feel like you can manufacture runs, that you can score runs at any time. You're not out of it.
Oh my goodness! From 2023 to now, I feel like I've went through the abyss and I've come out the other side in the hero's journey, and I can only anticipate what's going to happen this weekend. I'm so jealous that you're going to be there in the Bronx, just cheering on these guys, because at the end of the day, what they thrive on is the energy of what we provide as fans. With that energy back into the stadium, the back and forth, I think we're in.
Paul, you're going to hear me this season, man. I've had some rants about how we can will them to victory. How when it's two strikes, two outs, get up. Everybody stand up, clap, yell, get that last out. Ring them up. PC Richardson, like, let's go. Like you can literally, you can feel the energy in Yankee Stadium. There are ghosts in that area that these guys put on the pinstripes. There's power in pinstripes. They become superhumans. They do things that they didn't even know they could do. And the roar of the fans in the Bronx, I just know it, man. I'm blessed. Like you said, you're jealous. I'm jealous of myself. My younger self couldn't have ever imagined this. I was a TV watching fan. I watched every game on TV. I was just telling somebody on Twitter how, like, when I was young, I was so broke, I didn't even try to go to the stadium. I didn't think it was a real thing. I did not think it was fathomable.
Right. Just one quick story. So in 1998, an amazing team, right? And I was living in Memphis, but I had the chance to go out to San Diego for a conference I was speaking at. And I went to the concierge at the hotel that I was staying at. I said, listen, I got to get to this game 3 because the Yanks won game 1 and game 2 in the Bronx, but I got to watch my team. And she said, don't do it. It's going to be hundreds of dollars. If I know my fans here in San Diego, they lose tonight and you guys go for a sweep in game 4, you can get tickets very, very cheap.
Yep.
Keith, I was at the queue to watch our Yankees win the World Series in 1988. We got a great team behind the Yankees dugout for $25. Oh my God. Right? Like not only was it like saving the money, but it was just that experience and watching the guys come out with that trophy and being able to be part of like the couple hundred Yankee fans that were there in San Diego to watch that win. I tell you what, I really hope that anyone that's listening to this show right now could have that opportunity to be able to be part of that experience, because we've been so close for so long as Yankee fans over the past 20 plus years. He got the 2009 deal. But at the end of the day, this is a different team. It just feels different. And I just love listening to your show with that optimism, but not going overboard.
It's reality. I wasn't like this last year. And thanks for the call, Paul, and the great story. Like I said, I was looking forward to 2024 opening day in July of last year when a lot of you were still holding on. I'm like, this team ain't worth they find ways to lose. What are you guys watching that you believe? You think Judge is coming back to save the day? He can't save this team on one foot. They don't have it. I'm off the roller coaster. I'll see y'all in 2024. Peace. And I went through the motions and watched and whatever, but I was emotionally detached. I'm all in again. It's a fresh season. You're not impressed? The numbers say this 6-1 record this season, it's the 13th time in franchise history that they've started 6-1 or better. How many years have you watched the Yankees? You're not impressed? I mean, their 4 comeback wins already are the most in MLB. That's what you need in baseball. Never say die, Yanks. Never out of it. I watch the whole game, start to finish. I don't turn the game off. If I got to go pick up my wife from the train, me and my son are in the car listening to John and Susan. I know what's going on in the game, even while I'm walking down the steps or getting on the elevator, bringing my son down. Like, I have it in my phone. I'm not missing a beat. I care. I want to win. And I know if I miss a pitch, if I miss an at-bat, I don't know, Alex Verdugo might go yard. They have a 2.53 team ERA. That's 4th in MLB. There's stats already that are telling you you should be impressed with what you're seeing so far. Peter's in Manhattan, New York, on The Fan in New York. Go, Peter, go.
How you doing, Keith? Happy birthday premature to Jackson. But anyway, just a comment. You started watching the Yankees in 98. I go back to the Horace Clark years. Interestingly, Horace Clark would consistently bat over 600 bats per year. And when he had over 700.
Not to cut you off, Peter. I just heard Evan talking about the Horace Clark Yankees like last week.
Yeah, he had actually 1 year he had over 700 bats. There was a picture of him, and they used to call the horse. He was on the horse, so the Daily News had a picture of him. They said, the horse on the horse. But anyway, the question I have for you, Keith, is in today's pitching era where, you know, starting pitchers are expected to go maybe 150 or 170 innings per year, what do you value more? Is it more important to have good relief pitching or starting pitcher or relief pitcher? Which do you think has greater value? I mean, both of them have value, but which one do you think has greater value?
Relief pitching. Man, that bullpen. And you got to have different kinds of guys and different kinds of weapons coming out of that bullpen. That bullpen has to be your tool shed. That bullpen has to be your tool belt or where you keep your weapons, right? And you got to know when to use each weapon. You got to know, who to deploy when. Anybody starting pitching can get rocked, right? You can spend $325 million on Yoshinobu Yamamoto. He can get rocked. I mean, Garrett Cole, just a couple years ago, we were questioning whether he was an ace or not, you know, because he gave up 30-plus homers. He didn't seem to have it. He bounced back the next year and won the Cy Young, and even that year he locked up in the postseason. Man, there are so many teams, especially like there are so many teams where their starting rotation, they have question marks in their rotation. Teams don't have. There was once upon a time where you felt like some teams had 4 or 5 guys that could be considered aces or ones and twos. There are a lot of teams now where you're looking at the team, like, just look at the Mets, right? Where the Mets are now. And I'm not trying to troll the Mets fan or throw the Mets.
Like 4 or 5 pitchers, yeah.
They have, and they just signed Julio Teheran, and they're like, he can pitch Monday. Like, that's not a good spot to be in. You would rather see them bring up a young guy, but I think I saw, like, Tyler McGill went down. They needed to make a move like that. Kodai Senga went down. But then you're dealing with, like, Adrian Hauser's going to make his debut. Luis Severino, I don't know what Sevy is anymore. I feel bad for the guy. Sean Manaea looked pretty solid. You hope that there's more where that is. Jose Quintana is on the back end of his career. But what I'm saying is, like, the Mets go from that, and it was just a few years ago that they had Noah Syndergaard, Jacob DeGrom, Steven Matz, Harvey. Like, they had it. Like, they were one of those teams where you're like, man, any given day, one of those guys could go out and shove for 6 innings. It's just not as prevalent anymore in baseball. But these bullpens, everybody's got somebody coming out of that bullpen throwing 100 miles an hour.
Great. All right. Thank you so much, Keith. How's Jackson doing? How did he handle the air flight?
He was so good on the plane. I was being too pessimistic and worried. He just played and ate snacks and was cute. And, like, other people on the plane were interacting with him. And like, he's star of the show, man. Everywhere we go, this kid steals the show. I'm so blessed to have a son like
you.
Him.
You're lucky. Yeah, good for you. And premature happy birthday. If I don't call you before his birthday, happy birthday. And thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the call, Peter. Yeah, my son, he's the cutest kid. He looks more like his mom than me, but he's definitely got my eyes and he's got my, like, attitude and, like, hopefully my athleticism, it looks like already. And, yeah, wherever we go, he is a flirt. He's a ladies' man. Got that from me, too. Obviously, I'm settled down. I'm a married man with a child. But once upon a time, what's Shannon Sharp say? Uncle Shay Shay was hell when he was well. Yeah, once upon a time, I was hell when I was well. I'm still well. But you understand what I'm saying. My son, he is better looking than me. I'm hoping he's tall. I'm hoping he's athletic. And he's going to be so much more fortunate than I was growing up. He's, one, going to have his dad. Two, his dad is me. Three, I plan on us having some bread so that, like, hey, if he wants to take a girl out, here you go, bro. Take the car keys. Put a couple dollars in your pocket. Go impress her, man. Do your thing. Text me if you need any game, any help, whatever. He's a ladies' man. Every restaurant we go to, he's locking eyes on the server. He's following her as she walks away. She's coming back. He's looking. All the girls love him. He's so cute. He's so cute. I'm like, bruh, this guy is going to be a lady killer. It's great. It's wild. It's a wild experience. You know, this time last year, I ducked out of the fan for my paternity leave. And I know people talked about my paternity leave being long. That's, like, so disrespectful. Like, you shouldn't judge anybody's situation. Like, I moved away from my family. It's just me and my wife up here in New York chasing the dream. Like, my wife had a C-section. I had to do a lot. I had to do a ton. And even that first week when I was on baby watch, when we didn't know when we were going to be able to book the C-section, they moved me off the fan and they put me on CBS Radio for, like, 2-3 shows with Maggie and Perloff. And then even when I came back, it just, like, was the timing of, like, the month starting, but whatever. What I'm saying is when I dipped off into paternity leave last year, I had no idea what I was getting into, no idea what I was walking into. And now, like, I took care of my son all day today with my mom. My mom came up, and my mom is just like, you know, oh, he loves you. He loves his daddy. And I'm like, I love him too, and I know what to do. Like, I've got his schedule down. I know when he's got to go to sleep. I know when he needs a diaper change. I know when to heat up his bottle. It's just like second nature. I know what type of snacks he needs. I know what sound he's making when it rained all day. But I know he needs to get outside. I know I need to put him in the stroller, take him outside. It's crazy how, as humans, we just learn. We just adapt to our own. Like, you just become a dad. You just become a father. And, man, it's making me look at other men differently that didn't hold it down for their kids. And I know everybody's situation is different. I'm glad that my wife is someone that I took classes with in college. I partied with in college. We were friends first, and I got to see who she was. She got to see who I was, and we decided to go about our lives together. You know, I feel like I'm in a good situation with my wife. I know everybody wasn't in the best situation where they got divorced or whatever and people made decisions. But, man, I look at my son, and that is my job. I know I'm on the radio. I know I do appearances. I know I do social media. And you might not see that much because I keep some of that private. But the first thing I do in the morning is be a dad. And even when I go home later tonight, I'm going home and I'm checking to make sure my son is good. I'm a dad first. So, yeah, little life as we take the last call of the night. Jose is out in Elizabeth, New Jersey. What's up, Jose? You're on the fan. Last call. You got it.
Keith, how you doing? Big fan. Listening to you all the time. How you doing, Keith?
Good, good. We are now, like, in it where tomorrow, we can officially say tomorrow is opening day in the Bronx. Like, Big Mac just walked in here. We were talking about the stadium and what's going down and where people are going to, like, I cannot wait to just, like, like, breathe in that Yankee energy. Hear the train go over. Hear the 4 train go over. See everybody in pinstripes. It's on again.
Yeah, I can't wait, you know. I'm really excited. I can't believe that the previous caller, you know, he wasn't too excited about the Yankees star, you know?
Might have been a troll, but he said he got into the Yankees 2 years ago, and he's been following me, listening to my show, and following me online. Well, we got to tighten him up, you know? We just got to tighten him up as Yankee fans that have gone through. I'm alive for five, baby. I've seen five World Series, and I've seen some down years, and last year was the worst year. And for them to start off the way that they have this year, I am impressed.
I'm impressed. I also feel like them winning those games in Houston, winning the series, was a message sent
different.
To Houston.
And yes, you need
really
to send a message.
Team.
Put
this
them on notice. Things have changed.
Yeah.
The tide has turned.
That's correct. I also like Juan Soto. I like what he's bringing to the table.
How can
I really
you
like.
Not?
I really like what he's bringing to the
guy.
Table. I really like what he's bringing to the table. I hope the Yankees keep him. Honestly, you know, I know the Yankees have money. They have a lot of money, but. Steve Cohen has a lot of money as well, so I really hope they can keep him. You know, I mean, if he has a great season, there's no question they have to give him whatever he wants, don't you think?
I don't fear Steve Cohen and his great teeth. Thanks for the call, Jose. I don't fear Steve Cohen and his hedge fund money. Steve Cohen has to sell Juan Soto on being a Met. Steve Cohen has to sell Juan Soto on finishing his career in Queens. And looking over and seeing the New York Yankees, who he's getting a taste of being, reminder, he has not stepped foot on that field. He has not stepped foot on the yard in the Bronx. That might seal the deal. Opening day, that might seal the deal. And I know we're going to keep taking calls on Steve Cohen and his money and blah, 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 blah. He's missed on way more potential free agents than he's landed. And this is a big one right here. And I tip my cap to Brian Cashman for being in the front of the line to trade for that young man and seeing it through and getting it done, because it gives them a head start. And I just think you're foolish if you think that they're going to penny pinch when it comes to Juan Soto. I think you're foolish if you think the Yankees didn't go all in as far as the trade for him, giving up all the pieces that they did for him, and they're just going to half step when he gets to free agency. I just told you, go to my Twitter. I retweeted a video of a Dominican reporter interviewing him where he says, all of you think it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to free agency and he's taking the most money, right? You know that, right? In this modern day baseball where guys are turning down money and guys are also signing extensions, Juan Soto was in a video saying he's open to negotiate. It is April. He's open to negotiate. Brian Cashman, doors open. You know who to hit up. You have a relationship with Scott Boras already. Scott Boras needs to redeem himself. They know the numbers. You guys act like Juan Soto's going to ask for all $7 billion the Yankees are worth. The boy Big Mac is coming in next. I tried to set us up to talk NFL, Jets, Giants, Rangers, Devils, so it wasn't Yankees the whole time, but... Spoiler alert, you're about to get some more Yankees conversation from another Yankees fan with a different style and approach than mine. Again, I will be at the T-Mobile store in Times Square, West 46 and Broadway, 5 to 6 p.m. today with Cecil Fielder and Paul O'Neill. Then I've got the 5-hour KM to AM, and then I'll see you in the Bronx bright and early Friday morning for the home opener. Thanks for listening to my show. I'm out of here.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.